Tasty, flavorful coffee comes from thriving farms. However, long-held industry standards leave most farmers scraping by, severely limiting their ability to grow quality coffee. But together, we can change that. Our direct-from-farm sourcing eliminates the many layers usually found between the farmer and you. This results in prosperous farms with the capacity to grow exceptional coffee. And great coffee is what makes all our days brighter. We invite you to be a part of a coffee movement where everyone is lifted. Joe Bean, coffee that lifts everyone.
Live from Rochester, this is Plants of Beats.
What up, y'all? It's me, Rob Bell, also known as Alofi, the creator, host, producer, and DJ for Plants and Beats. And this is a special episode of Plants and Beats. You're about to hear a conversation with me and my bro, QZ, a German producer and DJ who I collaborated with on a 6-track EP titled Endless Summer. The tape is a concept EP meant to give you vibes and soundscapes of a perfect summer day. For us, at least, that's making beats, enjoying the weather, hanging out. The EP is out now on all streaming platforms. Just search Alofi and QZ Endless Summer. There's also a link in the show notes to the project. Me and QZ break down his musical journey, the story of how we met and collaborated. We give some insights on each track on the EP. After those insights, you'll hear the brand new music. Every track you hear on today's episode is from the EP, so go check that out. Enjoy the conversation. We connected after we both were featured on the Lo-Fi Alumni tape, right?
Exactly, yeah.
What was the name of that?
I guess that was it the Winter Compilation?
It was the Winter Compilation.
That one where Arcade All Day was on, was it?
That was my favorite
track of the compilation, so I had to connect with you.
Yeah, man, I was when you reached out, you know, I hadn't been familiar with your work up until then, but I started going through your catalog, and really, you know, what got me excited was the fact that you didn't really just stick to just like that traditional lo-fi, that you were kind of like me in a sense where you had more, you know, you had some experimental stuff, you had some straight hip hop stuff, you had some house stuff, which I know we both love. How long have you been producing?
My solo stuff I'm doing since 2019, but I played in a band like back in 2010, 10, I guess. So I got a lot of experience with just recording music and stuff with the band. But that, I had a long pause in between and focused more on the DJing side. But yeah, in 2019, I started to take the producing stuff more seriously. And 2020, I released my first EP. And that was where I got the attention. So like where it all started.
What did you play in the band? What instrument?
Synthesizer.
Okay.
And we had a band that was called Half Hour Handshake. So
half Hour Handshake?
Yeah. And it was like some psychedelic electronic rock or something. We were young and very loud. And yeah, it was fun. But if I listen to it today, it's... Not what I would make today with music, but
I feel like that's all of us, bro. What made you switch gears to become to leave the band and start producing?
It was like the band was like my one friend was going to study in another city, and the other one was also going to another city. So we were all around in Germany and we just didn't have the time to practice anymore. And so everybody went his way. And then there was my DJ time. It was like, from 2011 till when COVID came. So that was the point where everything stopped with the DJing because we couldn't make... we couldn't DJ anymore, so I focused on the production side more, and that was my my focus then. And I started producing before, but it was like just for fun. I still wanted to do it more seriously, but that was really the point where I said, okay, all in on production. And yeah, till today it became my greatest passion. So yeah, it all had to become like that.
So what were some of your influences kind of growing up musically? Like what kind of got you into even this space?
There was a time where I only listened to hip hop, like 90s Gangstar, Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., all the good stuff. Someday I discovered that's where the samples come from. So mostly from soul music and jazz and stuff. And once I recognized that all those samples were original music from old records before, I started digging deeper. And like most of the hip hop fans discover someday. So yeah, that was the beginning. And later it was like stuff like Flying Lotus and you see the poster back. It's one of my heroes, so
okay.
And then like when 2010 around that time or a little bit later when Majestic Casual and Selection and all that sound evolved. I was so hooked in also into the house stuff. And those were also big influences. And then modern trap music catched me also. And all that became like the influence for the sound I do today. So I didn't only want to do hip hop beats. I wanted to do the modern sound, like the future beats, trap stuff, but also to do my homework and make the classic hip hop sound. So and also the house stuff. It's all the roots are all in hip hop, but
it's all really like genre. I've always thought is just like for marketing, like it's to give something to labels to let people know, okay, if you want to hear this, then this is this type of music. But really, I mean, that's why I love DJing, is because I try to blend those eras and those sounds a lot. Cause like you know, I'm a 90s hip hop head, but I also love 90s R&B. I'm a big 90s R&B guy. I love 90s house. You know, but I also love like the modern house sound, and I'm a big Kate Renata fan. I'm a big Daft Punk fan. So when I'm DJing, I'm constantly trying to blend those sounds together. Sometimes, you know, people can notice and be like, "You was kind of all over the place." But sometimes I do my job well and I blend and, you know, I make it as seamless as it could be. How big is hip hop in Germany? How big was it when you was growing up? How big is it now? What's the hip hop scene like in Germany?
It's very big because there were a lot of army bases in Germany after the war. So all the Americans that came to the big cities like Stuttgart, where I'm living nearby, they brought the hip-hop sound with them. So there was the German hip-hop scene who got influenced by those American soldiers. And they evolved a big German rap scene in there. So, and I grew up in the middle, like between Heidelberg and Stuttgart, and those were two of the three most hip-hop influenced cities, like Hamburg is another one. So those three cities were the beginning of the German hip-hop scene. So yeah, I think I got influenced by that as well a lot. So.
So you said when you started to release music in 2020, is when you started to gain some notoriety. And I like to add that Huzi is got a huge following on Spotify, you know, almost like 90,000 monthly listeners, man. And, and verified and all that cool stuff. And one of your songs just hit like 2 million streams, right?
Yeah, that was also a house song.
Yeah.
I released that with a label, and they have a pretty good playlist network. So yes. I think most of the streams come from those good playlists. So currently I'm working on becoming more like my own brand and making reels and stuff to get also the Instagram visibility, you know.
I love lo-fi music, but I also think that it can be a detriment sometimes to a producer who is branding themselves as an artist, because lo-fi music can be passive, or it could create passive listeners. Like, some people just regard it as background music or background noise, and they'll say, you know, Alexa, throw on lo-fi music, and they don't really care who the artist is. They just want to hear that sound. And curators know that, so they're looking for a specific sound when it comes to their playlist. And I'm wondering your thoughts on whether or not you decide to kind of play that algorithm game when it comes to your production, or whether you just like, you know what, I'm going to just make what I want to make. It doesn't matter if it fits a box or not. Because I know I started off thinking maybe I need to play the algorithm game, but then I realized that my true musical beat making self just wants to be expansive and just be creative and just do what comes to mind. So I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm also like, when I make music, I don't have in mind that it has to land on that or that playlist. I just start and do what comes into my mind, or I just do. And then after that, I decide what can I do with it. Is it part of a bigger project? Do I make an LP or EP? Or is it good for a compilation? So I think it's good to just create as much as you can and look what to do with it afterwards. So, I mean, people put it in their boxes anyway, so it's their job afterwards. So you just create, you just get the information and put it out, you know, and what happens afterwards is part of what the people do with it. So, but of course, you have to look if you want to advertise it, or if you want to play in a certain field or something. Of course, you want to make a song for a house label or something. Of course, you can do a boom bap song. So you always have in mind, I want to do a house song now, but I'm not like, okay, it has to sound exactly like this song. I have to do this and this. So,
like, you read the room. Like, what's the vibe?
Yes, right? Exactly.
And what do people want to hear here? What's the energy that's going on? and you wouldn't just play what you want to play, and the vibe is not calling for that. And it's the same thing sometimes when you want to get on compilation tapes, or like you said, work with certain labels, and you know there's a certain sound that they put out. Like
if you have such a variety in your production, you are always able to get your music somewhere. So if you like we did with our EP, we have those different sounds on it, and it just evolved organically. It wasn't intentional.
No.
We just thought, man, how about if we do a house song? So yeah.
Do you have any house plants? Do you keep plants in your house?
You do? I got here one, but don't ask me what it is. Maybe you can help me. Like here are the leaves.
Oh, nice.
What is it?
Nice. That might be a pothos. Maybe might be a pothos. I'm not an expert either. A lot of people think I'm like the plant expert, and I'm like, no, I'm like you. I just like plants, but I ain't no expert.
Yeah. I also got a little garden with a raised bed in it with some tomatoes and like cucumbers and stuff. So some strawberries.
The plant that I picked out for you is the basil plant.
Oh,
basil
I
plant.
Love it.
So just some characteristics about basil. The basil grows on square stems. It's a trait shared with other plants in the mint family. The leaves grow in pairs directly across from each other. They're usually smooth, oval-shaped, and can be green or purple. Basil leaves have strong essential oils. When crushed, they release scents ranging from sweet licorice to cinnamon, lemon, or clove. That's nice. And in the summer, tall spikes grow from the center of the plant. These hold tiny white, pink, or purple flowers. Now, why did I pick it for you, QZ? Because they say that basil energy is warm, collaborative, generous, warm, collaborative, generous, and able to bring the best out of everyone around them. And that is the collaborative nature that I experienced working with you on this project, bro. It was, you know, I haven't always had the best collaborative relationships in my life in different scenarios, but this was near the top. It was top tier. And
yeah, for me, it was the same. It was like it flowed so naturally. So,
it was so natural, so easy. and we were on the same page about the sound. We were on the same page about the vibe of it and our influences. And it's funny to me because we're in two completely different countries, two completely different time zones.
Yeah.
But we found out we had so much in common with each other. From the love of hip hop and house music, and you know, us
DJs,
both being dads.
DJs,
yeah, dads, both DJs. Yeah. So it was amazing. What were your thoughts on, you know, the collaboration process? And well, first let's talk about how it started. So like we connected when we realized we both had a track on that winter compilation by Lo-Fi Alumni.
Yeah.
But then
I remember I was like making those videos for the Lo-Fi Alumni channel. We tried to upload the songs with some visuals behind, and I was about to choose some songs, and I always picked the ones I liked the most first. So yours was one of it. And yeah, I listened to this song so often, and I really loved the, like you produced it, the Arcade All Day. And yeah, I uploaded it and shared it on Instagram. And I think that was where we first talked in the DMs. Was it like that? I guess.
Yeah, I think I remember it being like that, and then I think I naturally got curious about your catalog, your producing. I'm like, I want to work with this guy. I definitely want to work with this guy, and then that's how Still With You, my baby, started. Right, that was the first. Initially, we just did that one track.
Yeah, exactly. And I was sending you the stems, and you came back after the weekend, I guess, or something. And it was like, I was like, what did he do? It's amazing. I was so flashed what you made out of those stems. So I liked the samples and like I did it before, but that was a whole other level. So I was like, man, this can't be the only song we make together. We have to do more.
I was so, when you sent me the stems for that track, my first thought was, what does he want me to do to it? I'm like, it's already done. I'm like, but.
Yeah, but you flipped it. So
I was
good.
Like, okay. Yeah. So the vocal, first of all, the vocal, just like, even to this day, it's just one of those vocals that I can hear over and over and over and over again. And yeah. It's just got so much soul to it. And I'm like, this just reminds me of like that, like you said, like that old school 90s sample hip hop sound. And I know we were talking about Commons. I used to love her, mm-hmm. as like a song that we both like, you know, in that record, you know, her is hip hop.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor for hip hop. So that was. I think that was kind of thinking about us naming it Still With You, because for me it was like re-engaging with that sound that I love.
Like the breaks you put in, or the little details, and I thought, man, that you did that in like a weekend, and it. But I thought you were like working on this for weeks or something, because it was just like so good in my opinion. I just loved it, yeah. And when I listen to the original one, it's like boring to me now. So like the stems I sent you. Yeah, but yeah, you did a great
job. I'm sure
it's
not, but I feel the same way about Snake Oil, because so after we finished that first one, you know, this was a different kind of collaboration process that I've ever had with another producer. I mean, usually in the past, it's been me and somebody else in the same room. But mm-hmm. with us being in two different parts of the world, I think you came up with the idea of, like, sketches. And I had never heard, like, stems or project files referred to as sketches before. And okay. I just thought that was, like, such a creative way to put it. And just that simple word kind of put me in a frame of mind that, okay, we're playing. Playing in the sense that we're not taking it serious, but there was like a childlike creativity to the process that I picked up on, especially when you, again, said the word sketches. I'm like, okay, well, I get what he's saying now. Like, I got some stuff laying around, and maybe I don't know what to do with it, or maybe I have, like, with Snake Oil, for instance, I know I sent you maybe the vocal and the bass line, maybe? I didn't send you a lot of stems for that one.
It was only three stems, I guess, three tracks, and it was, like, the vocal and the drums and the bass line, I guess. Yeah. But I only layered as well. Yeah. I put on some guitars and some like the rattlesnake sounds, and I want to do it like cinematic. I listened to this sketch, and it was to me like a soundtrack for a Quentin Tarantino movie or something like that.
I think is one of the more experimental tracks on the EP, you know, where you really can't place it in a genre, really. Like, like, what do you even call, you know, that track? Like, is it hip hop? Is it electronic?
Like, psychedelic, electronic, boom bop.
It's got all that going. And I think when I was listening to the track list when we first, you know, made it final, and it got to that track, I'm like, okay, like, we took it, you know, to another level. And as a listener, I love when artists do that, when they like they give you what you want, but then they detour a little bit. And if you like them, you follow them, and you're like, oh, this is dope too. So I'd be
Are you doing that as a DJ? When you DJ,
all
do
the time.
You do that as well? Yeah, me too.
All the time. It's a gift and a curse.
Them, yeah, sometimes you have to hit them with some experimental stuff.
Like, let me try that. And sometimes it works and sometimes it does not work.
Yeah. Next song.
Yeah. Well, let me go back to what y'all was liking before.
Where's the low pass filter? I have to go to another track.
Man, I've had a few of those moments. I'm not gonna lie.
It's all part of the process.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So that's two tracks on the album. I'm trying to remember if I think you sent me the sketches for Endless Summer from the opening track, right?
Yes, I guess. Yeah. But I don't remember. It was also just something I had laying around and didn't know what to do with it. But I knew it fits the overall sound of the EP, what we were aiming for. Like this summerly, summer vibe, good vibes, warm sound, soulful. So, yeah, I guess I sent you that. And, yeah. You made some magic.
I was listening to Graduation around that time. I think I was in the car listening to it when you had sent me those stems. So I had like flashing lights in my head. Just that kind of hard boom. That was in my head when you sent that, and that's what I was trying to recreate on the MPC. So,
and
you know,
it's so good, man.
For me, yeah, it's just, it gives that stadium feel to it almost, like that snare just takes up all the energy in whatever space you're in. And another another similarity was when you kept talking about the car test. because that's oh man. Anytime I meet a producer that does the car test, I'm like, okay, we part of the same tribe then, because yeah. For me, if it don't sound right in the car, then what's the point?
it has to sound good in the car, so yeah.
Gotta sound good in the car.
I mean, listen loud in the car, so it has to sound good there. So I always check my songs in the car first before I release it.
90% of the music I consume is usually in the car.
Yeah. So like we make total music for
throughout life.
Yeah, music for car drivers.
Absolutely, absolutely. I did a lot of joyriding growing up, so
yeah,
that's music and driving just was hand in hand.
Yeah, like, you need some good sound. While
like I remember going, yeah, especially like the vibe of this tape with like summer, right? Like windows down, music up. Cruising,
yeah,
that's probably my favorite way to consume music is on a sunny day with the music down in the car, with the bass booming. Nothing beats that for me.
Yeah, for me too.
for sure. Won't forget, that's track four. I love track four. I mean, because it feels like out of all the tracks on the album, that one feels like the one that a rapper would rap on.
Yeah.
like all the other tracks feel like they are, like they exist and like they're standalones. Like if a rapper would have rap on like Still With You, they probably would mess it up.
Yeah. Like, you don't need the rapper for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It works without the lyrics, but like, Won't Forget is like, especially like that late 90s, early 2000s, that kind of like Dynasty, Jay-Z,
yeah,
sample kind of era. first started producing, I didn't look at producers as artists themselves. It was almost like, you know, I got into beat making because of the producers that I love that were producing my favorite rappers. So for me, it was like, okay, if I'm going to be a beat maker, then I got to find people to rap on my beats. The idea of just releasing the beat and being an artist myself was something that I didn't really wrap my head around until I started really getting into house and electronic music and seeing that those producers were putting out music that didn't necessarily need lyrics, and it was still a record. It was still something that moved people. It was still something that stood on its own.
Kate Renata did this perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also. Yeah.
Or even, like I said, even like Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Or even a Daft Punk or Justice or Cyril Hahn or, you know, a Duke DeMont. Just a lot of the electronic artists and how creative they were being with using different vocal samples and stuff like that to kind of create those feelings in their music. Then I was like, okay, like, you know, maybe I don't need to just cater, because I think that was the hard thing growing up, was trying to cater to what rappers wanted.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there was a certain sound that might have been in, and all the rappers want that sound. So now all the producers feel like they have to produce that sound. And that kind of puts you in a box, whether you like that sound or not. You feel like you have to make that if you want records made. For me, the shift in that to, okay, you can be the producer and the artist all in one and craft the whole record and put it out based on what you're feeling, was liberating for me. And I think just seeing what the lo-fi community did kind of accelerated that curiosity to the point where it was like, okay, not only are house producers doing it, but there's a space for hip-hop producers to do that as well. So, but let's talk about these house tracks though, because somewhere along the line we were like, hey, you want to do a house track on this? And then we produced Do Whatever You Like. And then I think we came to the conclusion, let's just do one more. And they like even it out and round it out. Do Whatever You Like, bro. Just again,
the bass line. Like,
when I heard the vocal, I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. And I think it's a different energy when I fall in love with an element of a song that I just like, my focus is like nothing else matters at that point. Like, once I sat down to play with those stems that you gave me, but Do Whatever You Like, I had such tunnel vision on that record. I had been DJing like crazy during that period. I had gigs like back to back, like every weekend. And so I was already in that house like mode. So I already knew what I was hearing in my head. I'm like, I don't know if it's like this with you when you make house music, but like, it's almost like a sharper compass, because it's like I'm making something that I would want to play based off of my experiences DJing. I'm like, this would sound dope in one of my sets. Whatever you like.
I'm a big fan of like those funky house sounds. Like there's a big scene in Germany. Toytonics is a label who does some funky house stuff. So yeah, I was aiming a bit for that sound. But you came back with more like that Catronada bounce, and I was so flashed again. It was awesome. So,
yeah.
But we talked before. We said, yeah, we want to keep it bouncy, like with hard drums and stuff. And you did it perfectly, like with the bass line. It's so dope. Yeah,
for sure. And I think like there's so many similarities between hip hop and house, right? Yeah. And I think that, again, sometimes I get annoyed with how people try to tag the genres and say, you know, well, you know, if it's hip hop, it's hip hop. If it's house, it's house. But I do think there's this sweet spot. And I think these records, like I would play Still With You, My Baby, and Do Whatever You Like in the same set. Maybe not back to back.
But you can go up with the BPM slowly, and then it would fit, I guess. Yeah,
absolutely, because it gives me that same feeling. It's just a different bounce, right? Like, like Still With You is like the boom bap head nod, but I'm moving, and like maybe when Do Whatever You Like comes on, then the legs get into it too.
It's like more movement with every song.
It's just a little bit more movement, you know what I mean? You know, you get the hips, you get the legs into it and all that. And so, no, it's a very dope record. It's a very dope record. And then we ended the EP with Give Up Everything, which was a song that I had. So I'm currently working on a project that is more house-leaning, I would say. I'm trying to get away from saying that because... Yeah. I'm trying to keep my mind open to different ideas, but the idea behind the project was that I was DJing and somebody came up to the booth and asked for my Instagram information. So I gave it to him, you know, and of course that feels good when it feels like people like what you do and want to connect. But then my first thought after that was, damn, they're about to go, like, they just heard this house set and they loved it. They're about to go to my Instagram page and they're going to see all this lo-fi music. And I'm like, I need to create something that fuses those two sounds a little bit more. So I started working on a project that did that. And Give Up Everything was, I'm going to call it a sketch now. I'm stealing your word. You know, I'm just letting you know. Was a sketch on that album that I was working on. But as I started to make more music, it didn't quite fit where I was going. So it was just kind of just hanging out there. I loved it, but it was like, do I release it as a single? What do I do with it? Do I switch it up? So I thought, okay, this is a great opportunity to bring Kuzi in because he can inject some new energy into it. And the way you played with the tempo on it was just like brilliant. Like it really reminded me of a Daft Punk record like that. That it's a house record, but this is like this is an experience.
Thank you.
Those vocals, it was like those R&B type vocals. So yeah, I first thought about what to do with it, because I also thought, man, it's ready. So it maybe needs some sprinkle here and there. But yeah, then I took the vocal and chopped it up. I mean, you did that before as well, but yeah. I made some more sections to, and where I only put some, yeah, I do it like cooking some and put some spices on it here and there. And yeah, I played around with the transitions and yeah, just added some small details here and there, and then I think it was already good for my taste. So yeah, it's
the spice is important. The spices are important. Some people don't eat it unless you can put the spices on there.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. You need some little bit. Yeah, but then I thought it's a perfect song for the end, because it's like it has this up tempo beat, but then it slows down a bit, and then it comes back again and it releases the listener into the void. So
it's almost like you know, we just had our 4th of July here in America, and they do fireworks, and I was watching the fireworks with my kids, and at the end of the fireworks, they have, you can always tell when it's the end, because it's like the displays get bigger and faster, and then, you know, it's a little odd. You could just tell, like, the finale is coming, right? This is the finale.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like hearing Give Up Everything as the finale of this EP. It's like, okay, you know, we're letting you know that, you know, the lights are up, but y'all can keep dancing.
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all keep dancing, but this is the last one.
It's like the club at 4 a.m. So yeah, get your last drink, but yeah, you can still dance a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited, man.
That was the concept. So I got that idea that all the songs we have, it's like a perfect summer day. So you wake up with Endless Summer, with that song. It's like getting you into the day. And then the up-tempo stuff, like Still With You. It's like grabbing your skateboard, going outside, throwing some hoops and stuff. So it was like a soundtrack for the perfect summer day. So yeah. We hit you
with the snake oil, which feels like the hottest point of the day, where it's just like exhaustion is setting in.
The midday heat.
But Won't Forget kind of picks you back up, and then the two house records at the end, it's just like, okay, now it's time to hang out a little bit.
It's,
you know,
it's time to go party.
Don't forget to check the show notes. You'll find more information about today's guests, tips for caring for our feature plant, and a few special links connected to the episode. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps more people find the show, but more than that, it helps us keep building this little community around music, plants, wellness, and good conversation. Every listen, every rating, every share helps keep the roots growing. Plants and Beats is produced by Rob Bell with music by Alofar. Subscribe to stay updated and follow Rob Bell and Alofar on social media. The information is in the show description. Peace and blessings. See you next week.